you still need me? Will you still feed me when I'm 64?
Good afternoon and welcome to the Senior Hour. We are sponsored by Comfort Keepers In-Home Care, Providence Holy Cross Medical Center, and Hestia Med Spa. I'm Dr. Gene Dorio with my co-host Barbara Cochran on your hometown station AM 1220 and FM 98.1 KHTS. Today we have with us substituting for Barbara is Dr. Thomas Pilecki. Thomas, thanks for being on the show today. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Dr. Dorio. It's a pleasure to be here, and I'm happy to help. And Barbara's taking a much-earned break from her hosting responsibilities here. And, we hope to have her back in the studio here as soon as possible.
Yes, and today we have Mr. Information, Kevin McDonald from the Santa Clarita Valley Senior Center. Kevin, thanks for being on the show.
Hey, great to be with you.
And, we have always a lot of questions about the Senior Center. Some people in our community don't even know a Senior Center exists, let alone that it is now open. So, something, here's the big thing. A lot of people might know that it exists, but they don't know where it is. So can we talk a little bit about our move from the Senior Center in Newhall to the Senior Center now in the center of town?
Sure. We left. We were on Market Street for almost 40 years in an older county building. And then in 2017, we started building the new building on Golden Valley Road. And then we moved in April of 2019. We promised them in April of 2019 we would move, and we did on the last day of April. And we moved to 27180 Golden Valley Road near the corner of Newhall Ranch Road in Golden Valley. You just go up the hill a little bit, and you see us on the right. We have big signs that say Bella Vita, so they don't know it's a senior center. We kind of hide it. but big signs that say Bella Vita with a beautiful new senior center there that we opened up. We opened up for about 10 months, and then we closed for the pandemic, and then we have reopened this past year, and we're fully, fully open.
And, that's been our curveball, hasn't it, Kevin, where we, the pandemic hit, we had a new facility, and the facility woke up. I mean, we took over, and I believe in Los Angeles County did as well as any senior center did in serving the senior population. So I need to make sure that the citizens in Santa Clarita know what you did at the senior center to assure that our seniors were well taken care of. And that was, most importantly, providing them with the food and nutrition that they all require. And one last thing before I turn it over to you, and so we can talk about what you did, is that in a one-year time period, and listen, Santa Clarita, in a one-year time period, our Santa Clarita Senior Center provided over 1 million meals to the seniors of this valley and the Antelope Valley. Now, that's a huge accomplishment. And we all thank you for that. But, Kevin, that just wouldn't have happened without all the volunteers and the people at the Senior Center and yourself. Can you tell us that when the pandemic hit and we needed to ramp it up, what did you do? What were you faced with?
Well, first of all, we had the support of all of our staff, our board of directors, the volunteers in the community. And on March 13th, we technically closed that afternoon, and then we reopened again on Monday, March 16th of 2019, and kept going. So we never closed because we knew the seniors needed our services, but we had to pivot left, right, and in between and adjust how life was. And that was the biggest challenge, but we kept listening to what the seniors in the valley needed, and thus we kept just being creative. When you have the support to be creative, you can do lots of fun things. So you talk about the million meals, which is awfully important for people in a crisis, and we didn't know what the crisis really understood it at that time. But then we changed and said, well, how can we have fun during this crisis and still keep our folks safe? And that's when we went on the activities in the parking lot, and the cars were parked 6 feet away from each other, and everyone had masks on, and we brought in some great bands and great comedians because, frankly, they were available and looking for work. And so we put them in our parking lot. And then the transformation just started, and the volunteers were incredible. We started a drive-through, which today is going, I was just there, it's going crazy today with people picking up their lunches and just having a good time safely. And that's, you know, that's how we changed. And then when we reopened, boy, what exciting times to reopen a rebirth of the senior center. And it's so much different than when we opened it in 2019. Today is a whole different type of senior center.
Absolutely. And, you know, you mentioned about the parking lot, and you kind of activated that because in New Hall, when the senior center was there, small parking lot, now a bigger parking lot. But, you know, I remember seeing you out there in the parking lot, putting cones down, moving chairs and desks and tables and, you know, everything around you. We're hands-on. You were doing it all and helping your staff get everything organized. But, you know, it was the concerts that you provided, the comedy shows that you provided, the outdoor movies. Remember that? Remember that, Kevin?
You mean the movie screen that almost landed on New Hall Ranch Road because of the wind? Yes, I remember that well, and I was holding onto a rope at the time. So, yes, we did whatever it took to bring in drive-in movies all over again.
That is something, and you know, now it's open. Now and bit by bit, everything, you know, we've taken a step back every few months, actually a step forward every few months to get things open. So now we're pretty much fully open, and you know, there are important things for seniors to be doing. They shoot pool, they play cards, they have meetings, but still one of the most important services that they provide, you guys provide, are the social services and taking care of seniors who might be jeopardized in terms of becoming homeless, not getting their medicines, not getting their doctor's appointments, things like that. And you have ramped that up now to a high degree. So tell us about some of the things, especially the things that social services provides.
Yeah, I think it's to be clear what social services is, because the average person doesn't understand it. But basically, we have on our team about 15 social workers. We call them care managers, and that's what they are. They're care managers for a senior to walk through the door. How can I help you? Let's solve your life problems right there on the spot and guide you. And while we can't provide everything for you, we can give you the resources to do it. And we'll give you support groups. We have a family therapist on our staff. And it's really about helping. And there's so many people go through life and run into a crisis. And we want to be the one stop saying, give us a call and we'll connect you with this incredible community that we're in. And Suzanne Nelson's been with us for 34 years, still leading that team and bringing up the next generation of really, really good social workers for the seniors in this community. So we're really, really pleased with that team and what they offer to everybody, including our own staff.
And you know, with our co-host today, Thomas Pilecki, you know, you have supported our senior centers a lot. And I know you have a lot of questions, but, you know, one of them is, you know, the fundraising that we have had to do at the senior center to keep going, isn't it? So any questions related to that or statements that you have about the senior center and what they've done and what you've been involved with?
Sure. I mean, I'm always looking for a new charity to work with. But my question is actually, how does someone qualify to be able to participate, to be able to come to the senior center, to be able to use the facility, to be able to get on your meal program? What is necessary in order for that to happen?
And it's a great question. You know, we don't check the ID at the door, just so you know. So it is, you know, we call it a senior center, but it really has that old school mentality, and it's really not that anymore. That's why we like to use Bella Vita, which means a beautiful life. There's no ID at the door. You can participate in any of our classes and everything else. There is the one hitch is that to get a meal, In this country, you have to be 60 years of age and older, not based on income. Just prove that you're 60 and fill out a county form for us once a year. And then the U.S. government back in 1973, through the Older Americans Act, a great law that said we're going to take care of our senior citizens in this country. And if there's a place for meals to be served, then we're going to help fund that program. And that's how some of our federal funding comes down. But no, if you walk through the door, you can sign up for any class you want. You can get help from any social worker, regardless of your age. If you want lunch with us, immediately we'll fill out a form with you and bring you upstairs and have our care managers work with you. And then you go right downstairs and have your first meal, and then you're hooked for the rest of the year.
Sounds great. So what are some of the current classes? Because I imagine you rotate through things. So what's going on at the senior center right now?
Oh, my goodness. It depends on the day of the week.
Sorry.
Yeah, no, it's, you know, yesterday we had Tai Chi outside. We had a great, it was
awesome.
Beginning Tai Chi was going outside. And then men's billiards is all day long. Archaeology and anthropology, an unusually popular class. We fill up a classroom with people that are interested in those areas, so, you know, challenging the intellect. We got Zumba Gold with Annette, and she is dancing the whole time because, you know, you don't talk during Zumba is what I learned. And then what we do is we zoom her into the next room because we have overflow rooms, so we can't pack everybody in, so we're zooming her into the next room. Flex and Flow Yoga with Roxy. We have the cards room with Canasta, and then ladies' billiards in the afternoon. And we're rocking every single room. There's arts and crafts. There's a needle crafters club. You walk in there, and you can pick what your line of enjoyment is. We're bringing back ping pong soon. That was a big, big favorite, and that's coming out. So we're really just keep expanding and listening to the customer, saying what would they want. And we have some really great instructors that we pay, and they really produce for us.
So that was going to be my next question. Gene opened this whole thing up with the fact that I am always doing some kind of charity work. How is the senior center? You mentioned that you get some federal funding, and we know that that's not always as much as it needs to be to keep the doors open, mm-hmm. much less provide what you're providing. So where does the rest of it come from?
Yeah, we got to raise about $1 million a year because, as you know, we're a private nonprofit organization. And while we receive money from the city, which is very, very generous to us, and the federal government, we have to close that $1 million gap because we really don't want to charge our seniors much at all. I mean, they're under a very fixed income, and we are very sensitive to them. So right now, the classes are still free because we're trying to bridge that gap. So we have our celebrity waiter event every year, which we're well known for in town. And we do an appeal campaign coming out right around Thanksgiving where thousands of people will get a letter saying, would you support the senior center? And that works very, very well because we don't do it every single month. It's once a year, and we call it our appeal campaign because we're hesitant about putting our hand out too many times. So we're cautious with that. But those are the things that happen. And Rotary Club has supported us with their golf tournament. And a lot of individual donations are coming in, more than we've ever thought. And it's because people have gone through the experience of stopping by and saying, wow, this is okay. And to get those donations, it's a little extra special.
Absolutely. So I'm just, you know, my mind is spinning in 10 different directions. Go ahead, Gene.
And, you know, I did want to mention that the city council just approved, I think it was about $625,000 to the senior center. And everybody, you know, you got to be thinking, oh, that's a lot of money, you know. But I tell you, you know, and it does go far for the seniors in many ways. But, you know, there's not too many cities that support the senior center like the city of Santa Cruz, is there?
No, you're absolutely right. And that's the partnership between what's the role of the private nonprofit in our society. It's where government can't do everything for everyone. So hopefully a nonprofit steps up to the plate like the senior center has done for almost 50 years there and fills that gap so the city doesn't have to do everything. And the city has been very supportive with some of our recreation and wellness programs, our transportation program. We're trying to get some new Meals on Wheels cars out there because we got to keep the people fed in so many different ways. So as I explained to the city council the other night, our gratitude, but also that's how that partnership works. And when you're lucky enough to have a city like the city of Santa Clarita, because it doesn't happen in the other 87 cities in Los Angeles County, and we're very lucky up here.
So can I just ask, does that $600,000 count towards that million, or you still need $1 million outside of that?
Oh, it's $1 million outside of any government funding whatsoever.
All right, yeah, I just want to be sure about that. Yeah. So we got our work cut out for us.
Yeah, the game on for our work cut out for us. It's what we do, as a nonprofit, and we have that, but it's so worthwhile. It is so worthwhile to see the joy in the faces. I was, before I came over here, they needed help in the drive-thru, and just to see the smiles, and I say it often, but I saw it just minutes before I came, the gratitude of the population that we're serving in Santa Cruz is really something else, and you don't always get that when you give to people. As you know, you give and you're like, okay, if I get a thank you, that's nice. The gratitude is really, really there because I think they appreciate what's going on.
And, you know, the gratitude, we got to appreciate, we also, Kevin, have to appreciate the volunteers, the people who are live in our community, see the need, and come out and take the food and to their neighbors from the senior center. There's so many arenas for volunteering at our senior center.
You know, there really is. I passed through the packing room. I saw Darlene. I was out in the drive-thru. I saw Jennifer. And then Meals on Wheels, I saw Joe. And those are just a few of the 140 volunteers that say we want to help out. And, boy, we cannot make it. When you talk about trying to make an organization work, if you're able to get 100 volunteers like that. And the drivers come in every day. I mean, I have 18 drivers that come in to volunteer about 3 hours of their time to deliver meals. How special is that? And why we're hurt sometimes, for the most part, but we want to bring the next generation of volunteers in. We need to teach the next generation what the retirees now are teaching us. Is like, boy, they give back.
So I'm not 100% on this, but I think that every high school, every college has some kind of community service program. Mm-hmm. Have you looked into any of that?
Yeah, we're careful with our driving, of course.
Sure.
So that's definitely limits who's driving our cars. But they'll come around for the holidays, and they'll do different projects. So we'll send cards home for Valentine's Day that are written by children in the elementary schools. And how special is that for the senior to get a Valentine card saying, I love you, from some student in the valley? And those things count because the loneliness is out there. And to get that special card, it's not signed by Kevin. It's signed by a third grader, and that's how people can give back and help us out.
Yeah, I think the stress and the anxiety is at an all-time high in the senior population for many reasons. But I'm just trying to think of every possible way we can help you meet that mark.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but when you talk about that anxiety, it's, you know, we thought, okay, well, COVID's kind of coming to a slow, and they'll come running back. No, they're struggling to come out of this 2.5 years of isolation, and it's not—it's much more difficult than I had thought was going to happen, because I have some people, and I'm like, are you coming back in and having lunch with us in the main ballroom? Soon, Kevin, soon. So everyone's at different levels, and it's understanding that level. So the what we need on the street is to share the services and supports we offer to people, because the biggest shame would be someone who's homebound who's not getting a meal because we don't know about them. So we need to spread the word and the love and know the people on your block and in your community who are seniors saying, hey, maybe he just needs to play around the pool and meet some people. And if we're constantly reaching out and looking at your different circles, we can bring the community even more together. Because like I said, most of this stuff is free.
Well, free to them.
Free to them. Yes, free to them.
You've got to figure out how to make it free
to
them.
With the support of this community, again, but we teach our staff and we work with the board, fulfill the mission. We'll figure the money out. But if you fulfill the mission in a high-quality standard, somehow the money follows you. And that's what we focus on. Now, you're right. Strategically, we really have to work on getting the money in. But our goal is a high quality. Every single meal has to be excellent. And the money will follow because people will support that kind of thing. And the programs have to be excellent. So,
yeah, I love that. So if you're just tuning in, we're talking with Kevin McDonald, CEO of the Senior Center, with a mission to serve the senior population. Amazing programs, amazing services, free right now. Everything is free as long as you're 60 years old.
Right.
You can get free meals delivered to your house.
Well, that's they have to be homebound, so let's be clear. Yeah, okay. Otherwise, you can come into the building when you want to, but homebound, they have to be legally homebound to get a meal inside their home.
Okay, so Kevin, how do people get in touch? I mean, besides showing up at your door.
Right.
How do people get in touch with the senior center?
Give us a call. 259-9444. 259-9444. You can check out our website, myscvcoa.com. www.thebeatmusic.org.
I love it. Thank you so much, Kevin McDonald, for joining us here in the studio.
Thank you, Kevin.
You're listening to the Senior Hour on KHTS FM 98.1, AM 1220, hometownstation.com, streaming live on Facebook.
Will you still need me? Will you still feed me when I'm 64?
Welcome back to the Senior Hour. I'm Dr. Gene Dorio with my co-host today, Dr. Thomas Palucky, on your hometown station, AM 1220 and FM 98.1, KHTS. We're talking now with Miles McNamara from Comfort Keepers in Home Care. Miles, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, Dr. D. Good to be with you guys. Dr. D and Dr. P.
There you go. You know, Miles, you and Comfort Keepers in Home Care provide a unique, very, very unique service to the residents of Santa Clarita, especially the older population, and that is in-home care. And I'll tell you, for the last 20, 21 years that you have been here providing that care, it has been so helpful to my practice, as well as so many individuals in Santa Clarita. So if you don't mind, for those who don't know, if you don't mind telling us a little bit about Comfort Keepers in Home Care.
Absolutely. First off, we're not nurses. We help with the everyday tasks. We call them ADLs, activities of daily living. Most times our seniors just need a helping hand to stay safely in their own home, which is where they want to stay. And we help them with things like medication reminders, making sure they take their meds on time, with their personal hygiene in and out of the shower where most slip and falls happen with our seniors, making sure they're eating nutritious meals, making sure they're hydrated. We can take them to doctor's appointments. We can help out around the house with light housekeeping. So basically we play the role almost of the adult child who is busy, as we call them, the sandwich generation, taking care of their own children and then trying to take care of their parents when we're needed. So we provide that peace of mind, if you will. And I've always said it in the past, and we can always be there for the reactionary call. God forbid a slip and fall happens, like I said, a broken hip, you know, mismanagement of meds, and then we're called in after the hospitalization and discharge. But I always tell people, because, you know, we're available as little as 4 hours once a week up to 24/7, to be a little proactive, not reactive. I mean, we offer free safety inspections of the house. You didn't have to be on service yet, but if you wanted us to come in and take a look around and prevent that hazard from a trip, like the throw rugs are the biggest enemy of seniors. Grab bars, where grab bars are needed. Sometimes people don't even think that, you know, grab bars don't have to be just for the bathroom. I mean, slip and falls happen in the kitchen too. If it's going to help your senior not fall, then so be it. Put a handrail there. But so be proactive, as you know, and the reactive, mm-hmm. we can always answer the call. And even though we're primarily senior based with our help, anybody 18 years or older, we can help in the home. I mean, if you're recovering from a car accident or an illness, you know, whatever your age, as long as you're a legal adult, my Comfort Keepers can help you throughout your 8 days of activities. But primarily it's seniors, because as they age in place, 99% of the time they want to stay in their own home. They don't want to be institutionalized.
Absolutely. And, you know, you touched on falls, and that's the critical part, and you've mentioned this already, about preventing falls. But one of the things, Miles, that Comfort Keepers does is you go in and evaluate the home situation. You mentioned throw rugs and their hassocks, and there's a lot of potential for falls. So tell our listeners a little bit about how, when Comfort Keepers is called in, you interview the resident, the patient, the family, but you also evaluate the home. Tell us a little bit about how you go about evaluating the whole situation.
Well, kind of tailing off of what I said earlier, it's the circle of life. You know, when we're going to have children, what's the first thing we do? I think I mentioned this last month, is we child-proof the house. You know, we try to predict what dangers might come from a toddler roaming the house. And it's certainly not meant to sound demeaning at all, because then we all experience the circle of life. So we need to senior-proof our houses as well. As our loved ones start to age in place, as I mentioned earlier, that almighty throw rug or tangled up extension cords or sharp corners that they may, you know, in the slip and fall areas, handrails like I was talking about, anything that makes their aging in place more safe, obstructions, you know, are the hallways cluttered? Does it have room for their walker, wheelchair if needed? You know, if they have that cane moving. So you really have to take an over back up. Sometimes we can't see the forest for the trees, to use another cliche, to get that third eye in there, because sometimes we don't see it as we live in the everyday situation. So not only do we do a full assessment before we start any care, I have my nurse care managers, even though we're non-medical, my care managers are nurses, because we interface a lot with medical providers, home health, yep. hospice, what have yep. you. And they'll do a full-on assessment, not only obviously the house and the dangers we just talked about, but what care plan needs to be customized for the client themselves. I mean, obviously there's going to be different needs, and we do that through the assessment. I mean, if they need help with showering and taking their meds, we're not going to come in and focus on house cleaning and meal prep. We're going to focus on what the primary assessment, you know, exposed when we first met with our client. And then we customize a care plan for that particular client with help from whatever family members are involved, and make it sort of a synergy that keeps our seniors safe in their home.
You know, I've always said on this show, and probably a million times our listeners have heard me say, no, not one of my patients ever in the 35 plus years I've been here in Santa Clarita has ever said to me, Dr. Dorio, please send me to a nursing home. It's never happened. And, you know, what you said earlier about being proactive and not reactive and allowing individuals to age in place and stay in their home is of the utmost importance. And we mentioned falls, but, you know, one of the things, you know, you've said several times, we're not nursing. But one of the biggest problems that our patients will face is taking their medications. Tell us a little bit about that and the problems you've seen with patients taking it incorrectly or not organized in that process.
Right, and that's interfacing, like I was telling you just a minute ago, in that we cannot obviously prescribe or diagnose or what have you, but when a client's, let's say they're just discharged from the hospital, they may have a whole new slate of meds. You know, so we make sure that home health, the physicians are involved in, do we need to clear out the medicine cabinet at home and start anew? Then find out who's going to fill that med tray. Is it going to be a family member? Is it going to be a once a week visit by a home health nurse? And then we have the schedule. We have the med tray. We have all the tools in place. And then we make sure those meds are taken at the time they're supposed to be taken, at the dosage that is supposed to be taken. As you know, back to statistics, mismanagement of medications is one of the highest reasons that our seniors end up in the hospital. They've maybe not taken that old medication and cleared it away because the medication they were just prescribed now doesn't interact with that old medication very well. I mean, I'm sure you see that on a daily basis, Dr. Dorio. But taking those meds on time at the prescribed time is also one of the reasons that we have what we call readmits. You know, when a senior's discharged from home after, you know, stay in the hospital, they're happy, they're home, they're loving it. And bam, they bounce back with their readmission to the hospital because they didn't take their meds on time. They didn't get back to that follow-up appointment with the doctor because they didn't have transportation, which we can also provide. So the follow-up care after discharge to prevent that readmit back to the hospital, that's what we focus on, is that discharge plan with the people from the hospital, the discharge planners, the case managers, the physicians. Again, like I said, it's a synergy, a lot of moving parts. And we also know at discharge, you know, you're having so much thrown at you in a short amount of time, and you've got the adult child sitting there trying to take notes and listen, and the senior may not be quite oriented. And so you've got all this information just pounding you, and you get back to the house in an hour and you're like, what did they say? So we can follow up back with the doctor, with the discharge planner, look at that discharge plan, and then follow that so we can keep our seniors home and not bouncing back to the hospital.
And now,
so
with,
what about? Go ahead.
Okay. Now, with the pandemic winding down, and some people are fortunate enough to go back to work, can you talk a little bit about respite care, where you're not there, your comfort keepers are not there all day, but maybe a couple of hours in order to allow somebody to leave and know that, you know, their parents are being taken care of.
Absolutely. Respite care is huge because the family caregiver, I mean, we've talked about that in the past too, billions with a B. If you put a price tag on the wages of family caregivers that are providing care for their loved ones, but they need a break as well. You know, it's sort of that self-care. You know, if you know, statistics also show that people who are caring for someone, their health starts to fail, and they may get ill and, God forbid, pass before the person they're caring for because they're not taking care of themselves. So respite care is huge. So if we have a spouse or a family member whose primary goal or job is to care for that loved one, we'll come in 4 hours, like I said, at a time. We can be there as little as 4 hours once a week or 24/7, but get that family caregiver out of the house, or if they have to go to work or they have to do something else, go and take care of yourself, and we'll make sure everything's okay at the house. But respite care is huge. A lot of times, you know, people don't know what they don't know. So, you know, you've got these family caregivers who are overwhelmed. They're not eating well. They're not resting well. They don't know about comfort keepers or in-home care or things that are available to them. But I mean, if I had a nickel for every time someone met me and said, gosh, I wish I knew when mom was alive, so again, that's why we try to network and get the word out there of the resources that are available. I mean, Kevin just mentioned, the senior center and some of the resources they have, and there are resources out there, so just spread the word that you're not alone as a family caregiver. You're not on an island, but that respite care is huge for self-care of our family caregivers.
And Miles, you've mentioned before about how some insurances actually pay for that service.
Well, unfortunately, not enough. It's primarily private pay, and that irritates me because we, are outside of the price range of a lot of our seniors in need. So Medicare, I wish they would step up and do the preventative care themselves. Now, they have greenlit Medicare Advantage plans like the Kaisers, United Healthcare's, some of those to start utilizing home care, and they will pay to a degree, but none of them is really pulling the trigger. Kaiser has a little bit, but not much. But none of the other Advantage plans have really kicked in to provide this because it's still optional. So if Medicare greenlit it, it's still the Advantage plan's business decision if they want to supplement their coverage with home care. I wish more would do it.
Yeah, we're all in the same boat on this.
Yeah.
Outside of prescribed medications and surgeries, most problems that most people face most of the time are no longer covered under any insurance policy, and we're not just talking about Medicare.
Right, right. And long-term care insurance, if people have the foresight to purchase it, people our age right now in the sweet spot, we're still healthy, maybe get a reasonable premium per month, and then when you need to trigger that down the road, when you need home care, then that long-term care policy really comes into place. And, sometimes folks will be hesitant because it's, $200-$300 a month in a premium. Who needs that? But again, do the cost analysis is down the road when you want to stay in your own home and the cost of private pay home care can exceed $3,000-$4,000 a week if you want it around the clock. That $300 a month premium over the years looks a lot more attractive because now you're looking at, huge amounts of money that the long-term care, which again, there's a lot of different levels of policies. Happy to answer questions folks have about what to look for in a long-term care policy, just to make sure you're not paying for nothing, so to speak. Long-term care insurance, but I really do wish that Medicare would step back, look at the preventative. I think it would be a cost-effective way for them to prevent the slip and falls and the hospitalizations and the things that happen because our seniors are at home alone and these things that we just talked about happened.
You and me both.
Yeah.
We've been singing the same song now for a really long time about the disparity between health care and the health of the people who need the care.
Right. There's a donut hole the size of the Grand Canyon.
Yeah.
That's right.
So we're all working on this together, and I so appreciate, KHTS for giving us this forum, all the work that, because I've been a guest on the show now for 20 years. I imagine you also. I mean, you've probably been here as many times as I have. And of course, Dr. Dorio and Gene just providing this arena to get this information out there and hopefully help as many people as possible.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's really important. Go ahead, Dean.
It's really important because it, you know, once again, I'm going to bring this up the third time, proactive, not reactive.
Right.
What you said, Miles, because, you know, the respite is important for the caregivers. But when we talk about the general idea of aging in place, we have to have respite in place. And it's, you know, we here in Santa Clarita, you know, we have different complexions, we have different backgrounds, we have different religions, we have all of that. But, you know, we're all come together when it comes to survival and making sure the people around us are doing well. And I think it is possible in the future, Miles, for us to be able to bring this forward somehow, some way. Dr. Pilecki, you, me, Barbara, the senior center, we will make sure that everybody has that opportunity to age in place.
Sounds like a plan. You're listening to the Senior Hour on KHTS FM 98.1, AM 1220, hometownstation.com, streaming live on Facebook. You're listening to the Senior Hour on KHTS FM 98.1, AM 1220, hometownstation.com, streaming live on Facebook. I'm your host for the day, Dr. Thomas Pilecki, and on the phone we have our regular host, Dr. Gene Dorio. In the studio today is Miles McNamara, owner of Comfort Keepers. He's a certified senior advisor providing trusted in-home senior care for over 20 years.
Yep, right here in the Valley. And I know we don't have much time before the end of the show, so I want to jump into it. We were talking off air of the ever-changing complexion of the Advanced Healthcare Directive and just kind of a quick overview, and then I'll hand it off to Dr. Dorio because he's done some great job with legislation. When our children turn 18, they're legally adults, so it starts there, and all the way to our senior loved ones and our parents and grandparents, is that if something, God forbid, happens and you're admitted to the hospital and you're not able to speak on your own behalf, a family member can't come in there and say, well, I'm the spouse, I'm the son, I'm whatever, and start making decisions if they do not have the legal documents such as an advanced healthcare directive. The doctors aren't going to do it on purpose. They've got to follow the law, and they're going to say, unless you have that advanced healthcare directive, the hospital will be making all of these vital decisions on your behalf. So, again, we've talked about it in past shows, but Dr. Dora, I'm going to hand that off to you because you've been working on some legislation that's going to change that a bit for the better interest of our families. But what do you got for us?
Well, exactly. If you look at the KHTS website, you'll see a few days ago I wrote an editorial describing how Robin Clough from the Senior Center and I proposed a law, which now has been signed by Governor Newsom, and it detailed, and it's AB 2338, Assembly Bill 2338, and what it did was added next of kin to California law, which wasn't there before. And it really is a part of advanced directives and the legal part of making sure that you have people around you that you want to have them make decisions for you should you enter the hospital without an advanced directive or unconscious. In the past, others could take control of that and pull the plug on you. And what this law does now, it adds next to kin. It took us about 7.5 months to get it through our state legislature and get the signing. And it does say, for Dr. Pilecki and Miles McNamara and all of us in Santa Clarita, that we can play a role in assuring that things are correct, things are right. We talked about aging in place, and this allows you to age in general. It's important that the citizens of Santa Clarita know that here in our community, we are not sitting still. We are out there. Dr. Pilecki is out there. Miles McNamara is out there. Barbara Cochran is out there. We are all out there attempting to make this a better community and now even a better state. So, you know, having your documents As we've always talked about, Miles, on this show, correct?
Yeah.
About having that advance directive.
But real quick, it's important to note that it doesn't take effect to the first of the year, so we still have that time between now and then. How does your legislation define next of kin?
It's actually listed in a hierarchy order, like your spouse, then your children, and then others as you see fit. So if they're... And you can define it in your own documents if you want.
But how does the law define it if you don't have the documents? Because I think it's important for folks to think, well, my second cousin's here.
They can look at AB 2338, and there is a listing. And I tell you, 46 states already do this.
Okay.
We were on the outside, so we have now aligned ourselves with the other states. So it's not that we have reinvented the wheel on this. So it is, you know, the people closest to you, and it doesn't have to be a spouse. It could be, you know, your the one you trust. And so that is up to you if you have an advance directive. But right now, it will list it in the law. We have a whole listing of it. So I don't want to say it inexactly in case people are listening and might think that there's, you know, so, but it's important, isn't it, Miles, that we have this out there, and this not just this law, but you have the appropriate documents as well.
Right. No, absolutely. And it's imperative, and we'll circle back to this again next month. I know I will, but to clarify who defines what is what, because next of kin might not mean your second cousin you grew up with, so we'll keep on top of that for you.
You know, and it has not been easy for some families to face these problems, but, you know, we are doing it here in Santa Clarita. Miles, if people need to get a hold of you, how do they do that?
Been on Lyons Avenue for 21 years. You can give us a call at 661-287-4200, 287-4200. You can go to comfortkeepers.com.
Miles, thanks for being on the show. Always great information. Dr. Thomas Pilecki, thank you for co-hosting today. We appreciate it. We are sponsored by Comfort Keepers In-Home Care, Providence Holy Cross Medical Center, and Hestia Med Spa. Listen to us next week on the Senior Hour. Now go and enhance your quality of life.